Hey, and welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Sunday, March 13th, and we had 7 games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Miami, the Timberwolves defeated the Heat, 113-104. In Chicago, the Bulls defeated the Cavaliers, 101-91. In San Antonio, the Pacers beat the Spurs, 119-108. In San Francisco, the Warriors defeated the Bucks, 122-109. In Denver, the Raptors beat the Nuggets, 127-115. In Utah, the Jazz defeated the Kings, 134-125. And finally, in Portland, the Trailblazers beat the Wizards, 127-118. So we will break down all 7 of those games in just a moment, but first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Miami, where the Heat were defeated by the Minnesota Timberwolves, 113-104. The Timberwolves were led by Jalen Noel off the bench. He had 16 points in just 22 minutes. And they also got double-digit scoring from 7 other players, including all 5 starters. It was 15 and 10 for Karl Anthony Towns, 15 points as well for Anthony Edwards, and 14 points for Jaden McDaniels and D'Angelo Russell. Whereas the Heat were led by Tyler Hero, also off the bench. He had 30 points, including 6 three-pointers, and they also got 19 points from Max Strus, also off the bench. He was their second leading scorer. In terms of the starters, they were led by Bam Adebayo. He had a double-double, 19 points and 12 rebounds, but the offense was a real struggle for a couple of guys for the Heat in this game and for the Timberwolves. So for the Wolves, it was D'Angelo Russell. He went 3 of 13 from the field, but the Heat had several guys that were just ice cold. Gabe Vincent and Duncan Robinson in the starting lineup were 1 of 8 and 1 of 6 from the field, respectively. And then Kyle Lowry was 4 of 12 from the field. Even Dwayne Dedman off the bench was 1 of 4. It was really a struggle for a lot of these guys on the Heat. And as a team, they shot just 39% from the field in this game and 33% from 3. And then to make matters worse, they were really sloppy with the ball as well. They had 18 turnovers as a team. So just an uncharacteristically inefficient and sloppy game here by Miami. They were, of course, missing Jimmy Butler, but still, you would have expected a little bit more from the Eastern Conference leading Heat. Whereas the Timberwolves, they weren't really that much better shooting the ball. They were 42% from the field and 35% from three, and then they had 15 turnovers. So not exactly the best game for the Timberwolves either, but it was good enough to beat the Heat at the very least. And they were actually in control of this game early on. They had a double-digit lead in the first quarter, and they ended up leading by 5 heading into the second. But then the Heat were actually on fire in the second quarter. They outscored the Timberwolves 42-25, so they not only tied the game up, but took a pretty significant lead themselves by the end of the second. In fact, at one point, it was 64-48 after a three-pointer from Max Strus with about 2 minutes to go in the first half. So the Heat were definitely coming on strong there in the second quarter, but then things fell apart in the second half. They were outscored in the third quarter, 34-19, and then they kept the pressure on the Timberwolves in the fourth quarter as well, outscoring the Heat by 6. So in the end, a fairly comfortable win for the Timberwolves. They were able to pull away down the stretch. Miami's offense was pretty lackluster in the fourth quarter, managing just 18 points. So with this loss, the Heat now fall to 45-24. So they are still in first in the Eastern Conference. They're 2.5 games up on the Bucks in second, 3 games up on the 76ers and Bulls in third and fourth. The Heat are plus 4.6 in the point differential. That is second best in the conference behind just the Celtics. And they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And as for the Timberwolves, this victory takes them to 39-30. So they're still in 7th in the Western Conference, 1.5 games behind the Denver Nuggets in 6th, and 4 games up on the Clippers in 8th. The Timberwolves are plus 3.0 now in the point differential. That's actually better than the Nuggets at this point. It's 6th best in the West, and they are 8-2 in their last 10 games. They are playing very well lately. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Timberwolves were led, as I mentioned, by Jalen Noel off the bench. In just 22 minutes, he had 16 points on 6 of 13 shooting. He had 2 three-pointers, 1 assist, and that was it in terms of the box score. He did nothing else, but nonetheless, an equitable effort by the Timberwolves. They had 8 players scoring in double digits, two other guys off the bench, and then all 5 starters. So they were led by Karl Anthony Towns. He had 15 points and 10 rebounds in just 25 minutes. He was 4 of 9 from the field, and he didn't do anything else in the box score either, but he was plus 14 in the plus minus. And then 15 points as well for the sophomore Anthony Edwards. In 36 minutes, he was 4 of 10 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, and a block. So nice contributions throughout the box score for Edwards. And then they also got 14 points from Jaden McDaniels and D'Angelo Russell. McDaniels was on fire. He was 6 of 8 from the field, and he had 6 rebounds and 2 blocks. And then Russell, he was not on fire. He was ice cold. He was 3 of 13 from the field, 1 of 6 from beyond the arc. But at the very least, he was 7 of 7 from the free throw line, and he had 6 rebounds, 9 assists, and 1 steal. But he also had 5 turnovers. And then Malik Beasley rounding off the starting lineup. His hot streak continued in this game. He has just been on fire lately. He was 4 of 9 from the field, but all he took were 3-pointers. He had 12 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. He was the team high, plus 20 in the plus minus. Good to see Beasley rounding into form as the playoffs approach, because he's had a rough start to the season, and he didn't have a great season last year either. I had high hopes for Beasley when he moved over to the Timberwolves from the Nuggets, and he hasn't really lived up to expectations, but he's been firing on all cylinders recently, and that is good to see for them. Off the bench for the Timberwolves, besides Jalen Noel, they also got 11 points from Torian Prince and Naz Reid, both of whom were 3 of 8 from the field. Prince had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and Reid, the backup big man, had 10 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. And then Jordan McLaughlin also chipped in with 5 points. And as for the Heat, they were led, as I mentioned, by Tyler Hero off the bench. He had 30 points in 37 minutes. He was 8 of 19 from the field, 6 of 10 from 3, and 8 of 8 from the free throw line. He had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. Just another incredible offensive show from Tyler Hero. I don't know what the odds are for him winning Sixth Man of the Year right now, but whatever it is, it's not high enough. I mean, there's no chance he does not win Sixth Man of the Year at this point. As for the starters, they were led, as I mentioned, by Bam Adebayo. He had 19 points on 7 of 12 shooting. In 33 minutes, he had 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. He was 0 in terms of the plus-minus, which was actually the best of any of the starters. All 4 of the other guys in the starting lineup were negative in the plus-minus. Kyle Lowry had 14 points in 37 minutes. He was 4 of 12 from the field. He had 2 threes, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. 6 points for PJ Tucker in 23 minutes. He had 7 rebounds, 3 turnovers. He was negative 25 in the plus-minus. That was the team low. And then 3 points for Duncan Robinson, but he was just 1 of 6 from the field. And 2 points for Gabe Vincent. He was 1 of 8. Really brutal shooting night for Robinson, Vincent, and Lowry. And off the bench for the Heat, besides Tyler Hero, they did get 19 points from Max Strus. He was, along with Bam Adebayo, the second leading scorer for the Heat. He was 6 of 12 from the field in 31 minutes. He had 5 three-pointers, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. And then they got 6 points from Markieff Morris making his return. This was his first game back after that shove from Nikola Jokic several months ago. He's been out all this time, so it's good to see him back on the court. And he played 17 minutes. He was 3 of 7 from the field, and he had 4 rebounds. And then they got 3 points from Haywood Highsmith in 5 minutes, and 2 points from Dewayne Dedmon, the backup big man. All right, next up we can move on to Chicago, where the Bulls defeated the Cleveland Cavaliers 101-91. The Bulls were led by DeMar DeRozan. He had 25 points, and they also got 20 and 14 from Nikola Vucevic, and 17 points from the rookie Ayo Dosunmu. He was on fire in this game. He was 7 of 10 from the field, and he stuffed the stat sheet, and we'll get to that later. But as for the Cavaliers, they were led by Darius Garland. He had 25 points, although it wasn't the best game. He was 9 of 24 from the field, and he had 6 turnovers. They did get 17 points from the rookie Evan Mobley, and 14 points off the bench from Jetty Osman. But this was just slowly but steadily a dominating victory by the Bulls. The scoreline doesn't quite indicate how in control they were of this game. They outscored the Cavaliers 29-20 in the second quarter, so they were actually leading by double digits at the half. And then they basically maintained a double-digit lead throughout the entire second half. The Cavaliers could never make any headway throughout the third and fourth quarters. At one point, the lead was all the way up to 15 at the beginning of the fourth quarter, fittingly, with an Alex Caruso two-pointer. This was his first game back in months, and you can immediately see the difference that he makes defensively. In fact, this was the first time that the Bulls have held a team under 100 points since Caruso last played, however long ago that was, several months. So that just goes to show how impactful and important he is on that end of the floor. So really good to have him back. They still don't have Patrick Williams or Lonzo Ball back, but hopefully they'll be back sooner rather than later, sooner than the playoffs, that is. But the three-point shooting was really solid for the Bulls in this game as well. 42% from three. whereas the Cavaliers were just 20% in that regard. And that was a huge difference maker in this game, as well as that defense from Caruso. So with this victory, the Bulls now improved to 41-26. So they are up in fourth in the Eastern Conference, but they are just behind the 76ers in third by a couple of percentage points. And then they're half a game behind the Bucks in second. And then they are half a game up on the Boston Celtics in fifth. The Bulls have a plus 1.6 point differential, which is in fact worse than the Celtics and Cavaliers below them, but they're on a two-game winning streak now. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. And as for the Cavaliers, this loss takes them to 38-29. So they are now 2.5 games behind the Boston Celtics in fifth and one game up on the Raptors in seventh. So the Cavaliers really need to be careful about the Raptors looming below them because they do not want to fall into the play-in game range. The Cavs are plus 3.0 in the point differential, though. That is fourth best in the conference. They are on a two-game losing streak, though, and they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Cavaliers were led, as I mentioned, by Darius Garland. He had 25 points in 42 minutes, although he was not very efficient. 9 of 24 from the field, 0 of 3 from beyond the arc. He was 7 of 8 from the free throw line, though. He had 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, but like I said, 6 turnovers. They also got 17 points from the rookie Evan Mobley. In 29 minutes, he was 8 of 17 from the field, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. 10 points for Kevin Love in the starting lineup in place of Jarrett Allen. He had a double-double, 11 rebounds with 3 assists. 7 points for Dean Wade in 21 minutes. He had 3 rebounds, 1 assist. And 6 points for Isaac Okoro rounding out the starting lineup. He was plus 11 in the plus-minus. That was actually the team high. And he had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Off the bench for the Cavaliers, they got 14 points from Jedi Osman in 33 minutes. He was 5 of 14 from the field, 1 of 8 from beyond the arc, so not the most efficient game for Osman. He did have 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, though. 8 points for Rajon Rondo in 17 minutes. He was 3 of 5 from the field, although he was negative 20 in the plus-minus, which was by far the team low. In fact, all 5 of the players to see the court off the bench for the Cavs were negative in the plus-minus. They got 2 points from Brandon Goodwin and 2 points from Lamar Stevens in 13 minutes. And as for the Bulls, they were led, as I mentioned, by DeMar DeRozan, 25 points in 40 minutes. He was also not very efficient, like Darius Garland. DeRozan was 9 of 26 from the field, 0 of 3 from beyond the arc, but he was 7 of 7 from the free throw line, and he had 4 rebounds, 6 assists. And then they got 20 points and 14 rebounds from Nikola Vucevic. In 34 minutes, he was 9 of 19 from the field, and he had 2 steals and a block. 17 points from the rookie Ayo Dosunmu in 36 minutes. He was very efficient, 7 of 10 from the field, including 3 three-pointers. And he also had 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Fantastic production throughout the box score from the rookie Dosunmu. And then they got 12 points from Javonte Green in 26 minutes. He had 2 threes, 8 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. And 9 points for Kobe White rounding out the starting lineup in place of Zach LaVine. He was 4 of 11 from the field in 36 minutes. He had 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 steals. And off the bench for the Bulls, they got 11 points from Alex Caruso, like I said, making his return. In 29 minutes, he was 4 of 8 from the field. He had 1 three-pointer, 1 rebound, 4 steals, 4 assists, and 1 block. Fantastic production from him. 5 points from Tristan Thompson in 14 minutes. He had 6 rebounds. And 2 points from Derek Jones Jr. in 15 minutes. All right, moving along to San Antonio, where the Spurs were defeated by the Indiana Pacers, 119-108. The Pacers were led by Tyrese Halliburton. He had 19 points in the starting lineup, 10 assists as well. And then they got 17 from Buddy Hield and 15 points from the rookie Chris Duarte. They also got 19 points off the bench from Dwayne Washington Jr. Whereas the Spurs were led by Jock Landale, the Australian off the bench, the big man. He had 26 points, a career high. And he was 12 of 15 from the field in 35 minutes. And then they also got 20 points off the bench from Lonnie Walker and 19 points in the starting lineup from the sophomore Devin Vassell. But the Spurs were resting all of their key guys, including DeJounte Murray, Keldon Johnson, Jakob Poeltl. And so they were really outplayed in this game by the Indiana Pacers. Like the previous game, they built up a pretty significant lead early on, and then they were able to maintain that lead throughout the second half. They outscored the Spurs 34-26 in the first quarter. And then credit to the Spurs, they kept pace with the Pacers in the second quarter. But then in the third, Indiana once again started to pull away, and they outscored the Spurs 26-18. So they had a pretty significant lead throughout the majority of the second half. The Spurs weren't really able to make much headway in the fourth. So a comfortable win in the end for Indiana in San Antonio, and they shot the ball pretty efficiently, 48% from the field, 38% from three. The Spurs were just 41% from the field, 32% from three. So with this loss, the Spurs now fall to 26-42. Now that Popovich has the all-time win record for coaching, it seems like the Spurs might take their foot off the gas pedal a little bit and start the tank in full here with some of these guys that they are resting in this game. For instance, they are now one game behind the Portland Trailblazers with this loss. They are at 26-42, and then they're 2.5 games up on the Sacramento Kings in 13th. And the Spurs are negative 0.4 in the point differential. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. And as for the Pacers, this win takes them to 23-45. So they are still in 13th in the East. They are 4.5 games up on the Detroit Pistons in 14th and 5.5 games behind the Knicks in 12th. And the Pacers are negative 2.3 in the point differential, 4-6 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Pacers were led, as I mentioned, by Tyrese Haliburton, the sophomore point guard. He had 19 points and 10 assists in 37 minutes. He was 8 of 17 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 3 steals, and 2 rebounds. Solid production for Haliburton. And then they also got 17 points from the other former King, Buddy Hield. In 36 minutes, he was 7 of 18 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and a steal. He was plus 25 in the plus-minus. That was by far the team high. Then they also got 15 points from Isaiah Jackson and Chris Duarte, the two rookies. Duarte, in 34 minutes, was 5 of 9 from the field, and he had 8 rebounds. And Jackson, the big man, he had 15 points, 5 rebounds, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. And then 9 points for O'Shea Brissett, rounding out the starting lineup. He had 7 rebounds in 27 minutes. Off the bench for the Pacers, they got 19 points from Dwayne Washington Jr., another rookie, the undrafted rookie, in fact. In 21 minutes, he was 7 of 9 from the field, 3 of 4 from beyond the arc. So on fire in this game, Dwayne Washington Jr. hit 2 rebounds. And then they also got 10 points from Goga Batadze, the big man. In 20 minutes, he was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 4 blocks. And then 9 points from Kiefer Sykes in 17 minutes. And 6 points from the backup big man, Jalen Smith. He was only 3 of 9 from the field, but he had 11 rebounds and 4 blocks. And as for the Spurs, they were led by their rookie big man Jock Landale off the bench. In 35 minutes, Landale had 26 points on 12 of 15 shooting. Incredible efficiency. He had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals as well. And then their second leading scorer also came off the bench. It was Lonnie Walker. In 33 minutes, he had 20 points on 6 of 16 shooting, so not the best efficiency, although he did have 4 three-pointers, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. As for the starters, they were led by the sophomore Devin Vassell. He had 19 points in 37 minutes. He was only 8 of 20 from the field, but he had 3 three-pointers, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. And then they got 16 points from Josh Richardson, the former Celtic, although he was not very efficient, 6 of 20 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. He was the team low by far in the plus-minus negative 20. And then they also got a near triple-double from the sophomore point guard, Trey Jones. He had 10 rebounds, 12 assists, but just 9 points. He was 4 of 14 from the field. He had 2 steals and a block as well. And then they got 5 points from Doug McDermott. He played just 3 minutes, though, before going out of this game. And 9 points from Zach Collins, the big man, the former Portland Trailblazer. In 20 minutes, he was 3 of 5 from the field, and he had 5 rebounds, 2 assists. And off the bench for the Spurs, besides Jock Landale and Lonnie Walker, they also got 2 points from Keita Bates-Diop and the rookie Josh Primo, although he was just 1 of 8 from the field. He did have 7 rebounds and 3 assists, though. All right, next up we can move on to San Francisco, the marquee matchup of the night, the Warriors taking on the Bucks, and the Warriors, led by Klay Thompson, got a big victory over the defending champions, 122-109. Klay led the way with 38 points, a season high. He was on fire in this game, 15 of 24 from the field, 8 of 14 from 3. And then they also got 30 points from Jordan Poole, who was in the starting lineup. This was the first time that Steve Kerr has gone with the Curry-Thompson-Poole starting lineup, and they were incredible. Offensively, Poole had 5 three-pointers, and then they also got 21 points from Andrew Wiggins. Whereas the Bucks were led by Giannis Antetokounmpo, he had 31 points and 8 rebounds, and then they also got 15 points off the bench from Serge Ibaka and 18 points from Chris Middleton. But in the end, this was a dominating victory for the Warriors. The scoreline doesn't quite indicate how much of a blowout this was. It was like a 20-point lead, at least, for the Warriors throughout the majority of the second half. The Bucks made up a little bit of that deficit at the very end in garbage time, but nonetheless, this was a comfortable win for the Warriors. And they built that lead in the second and third quarters. In the second, they outscored the Bucks 39-30, and in the beginning of the third, they were just on fire, whereas the Bucks could not buy a bucket for the first couple of minutes of the second half, and they quickly built up a 20-point lead and never looked back. They were overall, the Warriors, 40% from three, 48% from the field overall. The Bucks, on the other hand, were just 41% from the field. They were at least 38% from three, though, and they only had 5 turnovers. That is incredibly tidy ball handling. The Warriors only had 12, so this was a very clean game, but the Warriors just dominated in terms of the field goal percentage overall and the rebounding. They out-rebounded the Bucks 55-39. So a totally dominant win here for the Warriors in San Francisco. And so with this victory, they now improve to 46-22. So that is good for third still in the Western Conference, but they're just behind the Memphis Grizzlies via tiebreaker. They are exactly tied. And then they are 3.5 games up on the Jazz in fourth, and they're 7.5 games behind the Phoenix Suns in first. And Golden State has a plus 6.5 point differential, which is second best in the entire league. They're on a 3-game winning streak now, although they're still 4-6 in their last 10 games. And as for the Bucks, this loss takes them to 42-26. So they're still in second in the East, but they're just half a game up on the 76ers and Bulls in third and fourth. They're 2.5 games behind the Heat in first. And the Bucks are plus 3.8 in the point differential. That is third best in the conference. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and Giannis Antetokounmpo, of course, led the way for the Bucks. He had 31 points in 34 minutes. He was 9 of 17 from the field, 12 of 18 from the free throw line. He had 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block. He was negative 26 in the plus-minus. That was by far the team low. They also got 18 points from Chris Middleton. He was not very efficient, 6 of 19 from the field, but he did have 4 three-pointers, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. They got 13 points from Jrue Holiday in 33 minutes. He had 2 three-pointers, 1 rebound, 7 assists, 2 steals. 12 points for Grayson Allen in 28 minutes. He had 4 three-pointers, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. And 4 points for Bobby Portis rounding out the starting lineup. In 22 minutes, he was 2 of 10 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Good news for the Bucks regarding their big man rotation. They should have Brook Lopez back at some point, at least by the playoffs. So that is really good to see. And hopefully he can supplant Portis in the starting lineup. Not that Portis has done a bad job necessarily starting this season, but Lopez has been an integral part of this Bucks offense and defense, especially over the past couple of years. So they'll love to have him back. But anyways, another big man off the bench, Serge Ibaka, he led the bench in scoring. He had 15 points in 17 minutes, the recent acquisition for the Bucks. He was 6 of 9 from the field, and he had 2 threes and 6 rebounds. And then they also got 9 points from Javon Carter in 26 minutes. He was 3 of 4 from beyond the arc, and 4 points for Thanasis Antetokounmpo, 3 for Sandro Mamukevichvili. And that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench for the Bucks. Wesley Matthews and Jordan Nwora went a combined 0 of 7 from the field. But as for the Warriors, they were led by Klay Thompson, his best game of the season thus far. Season high, 38 points in 34 minutes. He was 15 of 24 from the field, 8 of 14 from 3. He had 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. And he was a team high, plus 27 in the plus minus as well. Then they got 30 points from Jordan Poole starting alongside Klay Thompson. They looked like a dynamic duo, shooting the ball, especially from long range in this game. Poole was 9 of 16 from the field, 5 of 10 from 3, and he was 7 of 7 from the free throw line. And he had 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal. I think Steve Kerr might have found something here with this Curry-Thompson-Poole starting lineup in the backcourt. It's pretty small, but it is potent offensively. And Curry, for his part, only had 8 points. He was too busy setting up Thompson and Poole. He had 8 assists, 5 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. 21 points, though, for Andrew Wiggins in 36 minutes. He was 8 of 16 from the field, and he had 3 three-pointers, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks. And 2 points for Kevon Looney in 23 minutes. He had 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks as well. And off the bench for the Warriors, they got a double-double from Jonathan Kuminga, 14 points and 11 rebounds in 28 minutes. He wasn't super efficient, 6 of 16 from the field, but he had an incredible dunk at one point, and he also had 1 assist and 1 block. And then they got 6 points from Nemanja Bjelica in 22 minutes. He had 6 rebounds and 5 assists, 2 points for Quindary Weatherspoon, and 1 for Juan Toscano-Anderson. All right, next up, we can move on to Denver, where the Nuggets were defeated by the Toronto Raptors, 127-115. Another impressive win here for the Raptors. They beat the Suns, and now the Nuggets, after losing to the Magic and Pistons. So this Raptors team is all over the place right now, but this was an impressive win, and they were led by Pascal Siakam. He had 33 points in the starting lineup, and then they got a big double-double from the rookie, Scotty Barnes. He had 25 points, 10 assists, and 8 rebounds as well. And then they got 21 points and 13 rebounds off the bench from Chris Boucher. So the big guys really getting it done for the Raptors in this game, whereas the Nuggets were led by who else but Nikola Jokic. He led the team in points, rebounds, and assists. He had 26, 10, and 7. And then they also got 16 points from Will Barton and 17 points off the bench from the rookie Bones Highland. But unfortunately for the Nuggets, they just fell apart in the fourth quarter of this game. It was back and forth throughout the first three quarters. Neither team ever held a double-digit lead throughout the first 36. In fact, the Nuggets were actually leading heading into the fourth quarter by 6 points. They had a 99-93 advantage. So it looked like the Nuggets were going to be able to hold on and get this victory in Denver. But then they just fell apart in the fourth. They were outscored 34-16 by the Raptors. They just could not buy a bucket. At one point, they had built up a nearly double digit lead. It was 104-96 with about 10 minutes to go after some free throws from DeMarcus Cousins. But then they just fell apart from there, only managing to score 9 additional points, whereas the Raptors nearly scored 20, or they did score 21 points from there on out. So a totally dominant final 10 minutes for the Raps and a complete capitulation by the Nuggets. In the end, they had 19 turnovers, and that really killed them in this game. They were also out-rebounded by the Raptors pretty significantly, 50-39. But the shooting was actually in favor of the Nuggets. They were 55% from the field, 40% from three. So that was not the problem for them. It was the turnovers and the rebounding. The Raptors were 47% from the field and 38% from three. So they definitely got bailed out in the end by the sloppy ball handling by the Nuggets. But a win is a win, and they'll take it however they can get it. So this win takes them to 37-30. So that is good for 7th in the Eastern Conference. They are one game behind the Cleveland Cavaliers in 6th, and they're 3 games up on the Brooklyn Nets in 8th. And the Raps are plus 1.4 in the point differential, which is in fact 7th best in the conference. They're on a 3-game winning streak now, and they're 5-5 in their last 10 games. And as for the Nuggets, this loss takes them to 40-28. So they're in 6th still in the Western Conference. They are 1.5 games behind the Dallas Mavericks in 5th. And 1.5 games up on the Timberwolves in 7th. And the Nuggets are plus 2.6 in the point differential. They are on a 2-game losing streak, though. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. All right, so we can move on now to the box score. And the Raptors were led, as I mentioned, by Scotty Barnes and Pascal Siakam in the starting lineup. Those two were incredible, combining for 58 points. Siakam had 33 in 36 minutes. He was 12 of 22 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. And the rookie Barnes had 25 points, 10 assists, and 8 rebounds. He was 11 of 20 from the field. He had 2 threes, 2 steals, and a block. And he was plus 15 in the plus minus. That was the starter's high. In fact, he was the only starter to be positive in that regard. Then they got 15 points from Precious Achiuwa in 21 minutes. He had 4 three-pointers and 4 rebounds. 8 points for Gary Trent Jr. in 31 minutes. He was 2 of 13 from the field, though, ice cold for Trent Jr. He had 3 rebounds, 2 steals. And 3 points for Armani Brooks. He was inserted into the starting lineup in place of Fred VanVleet, and he didn't do a whole lot. He was 1 of 4 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, though. Off the bench for the Raptors, they got 21 points from Chris Boucher, the backup big man, in 30 minutes. He was 8 of 15 from the field, and he had 13 rebounds, 1 steal, 4 blocks. Out of nowhere, a dominating performance from Boucher. Then they also got 9 points from Thad Young in 23 minutes. He was 4 of 6 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. 8 points for Kim Birch in 21 minutes. He had 8 rebounds. Delano Banton had 2 points. He was 1 of 4 from the field. And Yuta Watanabe just saw the court for 1 minute, but he had 3 points in that time. And as for the Nuggets, they were led by Nikola Jokic. He had 26 points in 31 minutes. He was 9 of 13 from the field and 8 of 9 from the free throw line. So incredible efficiency. He didn't attempt a 3-pointer, though. He had 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 blocks. 16 points for Will Barton in 32 minutes. He had 2 threes, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. 13 for Jeff Green. He was very efficient, 6 of 7 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 block. 9 points for Monty Morris. He was 4 of 6 from the field in 28 minutes. He had 2 rebounds, 6 assists. And 5 points for Devon Reed in 27 minutes. He was 2 of 5 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists. So the offense was really not a problem for the starters. But like I said, the turnovers killed them. Jokic had 3, Barton had 4, Jeff Green and Devon Reed both have 2. And then off the bench, DeMarcus Cousins had 3 turnovers as well. He had 7 points in 16 minutes, but he was just 1 of 6 from the field. He's been pretty solid for the Nuggets, but this was not a good game for Cousins. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 1 block, though. They did get 17 points from Bones Highland, though, the rookie. In 19 minutes, he was 6 of 12 from the field, and he had 5 three-pointers, 3 rebounds, 7 assists, and a steal. Then they got 8 points from Austin Rivers, 8 points as well from Bryn Forbes, and 6 points from Jamichael Green in 20 minutes. All right, next up we can move on to Utah, where the Jazz defeated the Sacramento Kings, 134-125. The Jazz were playing without Rudy Gobert and without Mike Conley, so Jordan Clarkson off the bench really stepped up, the reigning sixth man of the year. He had a career-high 45 points in 35 minutes. He was just incredible in this game. 15 of 21 from the field, 7 of 13 from 3, and 8 of 8 from the free throw line. He was just on fire in this game. He was plus 17 in the plus-minus, which was the team high. And then the Jazz also got 26 points in the starting lineup from Bojan Bogdanović and 25 from Donovan Mitchell. Whereas the Kings were led by De'Aaron Fox, he was doing his best to match Clarkson. He had 41 points in 41 minutes. He was 15 of 32 from the field. He had 5 three-pointers and 11 assists. And then they also got 18 points from Harrison Barnes and 14 points off the bench from Davion Mitchell, the rookie. But there was no Domantas Sabonis in this game for the Kings, and they were slowly but surely edged by the Jazz. They were actually leading after the first quarter. They had outscored the Jazz 42-37, a high-scoring first quarter, but then they were outscored in the second 34-25, and then 29-21 in the third as well. So it was a pretty significant advantage for the Jazz at the beginning of the fourth quarter. It was actually a 15-point lead after a three-pointer from Jared Butler with about 10 minutes to go in the fourth. It was 106-91. So it looked like the Jazz were going to cruise to an easy victory, but then they actually allowed the Kings to get back in the game once again. About halfway through the fourth quarter, it was just a 5-point game after a 20-foot pull-up jump shot from Jeremy Lamb. It was 113-108. So just like that, the Kings got back into the game. But from there on out, the Jazz were able to hold on and get this victory in the end. They had built up a double-digit lead once again by the end of the fourth. So a gritty win here for the Jazz with no Mike Conley and no Rudy Gobert to stave off this comeback attempt at the very end by the Kings. And it was thanks in large part to Jordan Clarkson just going nuclear off the bench. And overall, the Jazz were 55% from the field and 39% from three. So incredible offense for Utah. The Kings weren't bad at all. They were 50% from the field, 39% from three as well. And they only had 7 turnovers, but they were dominated on the boards, 44-33, thanks in large part to Hassan Whiteside filling in for Rudy Gobert in the starting lineup and pulling down 21 rebounds. So with this victory, the Jazz now improved to 42-25, so that is good for 4th in the Western Conference. They are just one game up on the Dallas Mavericks in 5th, and they are 3.5 games behind the Warriors and Grizzlies in 2nd and 3rd. The Jazz are plus 6.4, though, in the point differential. That is 3rd best in the entire NBA, and they are 6-4 in their last 10 games. And as for the Kings, this loss takes them to 24-45. So they're down in 13th in the Western Conference. They are 2.5 games behind the Spurs in 12th, and they're 2.5 games up on the Thunder in 14th. And the Kings are negative 5.3 in the point differential, which is 4th worst in the West. But they're on a 4-game losing streak, and they're 2-8 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Kings were led, as I mentioned, by De'Aaron Fox. He had a 41-point double-double, 11 assists in 41 minutes. Incredible stuff from Fox. He was 15 of 32 from the field, so not incredibly efficient, but he did have 5 three-pointers, and he was 6 of 6 from the free-throw line. And he also had 3 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block to go along with the 11 assists. So overall, incredible production from Fox. Then they also got 18 points from Harrison Barnes. He was much more efficient, 7 of 12 from the field in 35 minutes. He had 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. 13 points from Trey Lyles in 24 minutes. He was 5 of 9 from the field. 6 points for Damian Jones in 25 minutes. He was perfect, 2 of 2 from the field and 2 of 2 from the free throw line. He had 3 assists. And then 3 points for Justin Holiday, rounding out the starting lineup, although he played just 9 minutes. And off the bench for the Kings, they got 14 points from Davion Mitchell, the rookie point guard, in 21 minutes. He was 6 of 12 from the field, and he had 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. 12 points for Chimezie Metu, the big man, in 23 minutes, was 4 of 8 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 3 assists. 8 points for Jeremy Lamb in 13 minutes, 7 for Rashawn Holmes, and 3 points for Dante DiVincenzo in 17 minutes. He was 1 of 4 from the field. And as for the Jazz, they were of course led by Jordan Clarkson off the bench. 45 points, a new career high for him in 35 minutes. He was 15 of 21 from the field, 7 of 13 from 3, and 8 of 8 from the free throw line. Incredible offense. He had 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. He was plus 17 in the plus minus. And as for the starters, they were led by Bojan Bogdanović. He had 26 points in 35 minutes. He was 7 of 16 from the field, but he had 4 threes and he was 8 of 8 from the free throw line. And he had 4 rebounds, 2 assists. 25 points for the other D. Mitchell Donovan in 36 minutes. He was 11 of 22 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. 12 points for Hassan Whiteside. As I mentioned, he was in the starting lineup in place of Rudy Gobert, and he stuffed the stat sheet in 35 minutes. He was 5 of 6 from the field, 21 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. He was 2 of 6 from the free throw line, though, and Donovan Mitchell was 2 of 5. And then 7 points for the other two starters, Daniel House and Royce O'Neal. O'Neal had 5 rebounds and 5 assists, and House was 2 of 3 from beyond the arc. He had 3 rebounds. And off the bench for the Jazz, besides Jordan Clarkson, they also got 5 points from Jared Butler, the rookie, in 12 minutes, 6 points for Rudy Gay in 13 minutes, and just 1 point for Eric Paschal. All right, and finally we can move on to Portland, where the Trailblazers defeated the Washington Wizards 127-118. The Trailblazers were led by Josh Hart. He had 44 points, a new career high for him as well. He was incredible in this game in the starting lineup. He was 15 of 21 from the field, 6 of 9 from 3, reminiscent of Jordan Clarkson in the previous game. He was just incredible, Hart, the former Pelican and also former Laker. And then they also got 27 points from Trendon Watford, also in the starting lineup, and he was also on fire, 11 of 16 from the field. And 20 points as well for Drew Eubanks. Whereas the Wizards were led by Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, another former Laker. He had 26 points in 32 minutes. He had 5 three-pointers. He was the answer to Poeltl yesterday, if anybody was wondering. And then they also got 22 points from Kyle Kuzma in 30 minutes. He had 4 three-pointers. And 14 points for Daniel Gafford, 15 for Corey Kispert, the rookie. But this was just an emphatic victory for the Trailblazers, despite not having, like, their entire roster from the beginning of the season. No Damian Lillard, of course, Robert Covington and Norman Powell both traded, and Yusuf Nurkic out with an injury as well, but that did not matter. They were starting CJ Ellaby, Brandon Williams, Trendon Watford, but they were dominant in this game. They outscored the Wizards 38-26 in the first quarter, and then they expanded upon that lead even more in the second, outscoring the Wizards 34-28. So this was a double-digit lead. In fact, by halftime, it was nearly 20 points. It was 72-54, and they pretty much maintained that lead throughout the second half. It got a little bit closer at the beginning of the fourth quarter. It was about a 10-point game there for a few minutes. Drew Eubanks hit a two-pointer that extended the lead to 10. It was 107-97, but then they reestablished a pretty significant lead by the end of the fourth. So a dominant win here for the Trailblazers, and it was the shooting from the field, 51%, that helped them get there. They were actually worse from beyond the arc than the Wizards. The Wiz were 41% from three, whereas the Trailblazers were just 36%. But Portland only had 11 turnovers, whereas Washington had 15, and they also dominated on the boards. Portland, they out-rebounded the Wizards 43-35. So an emphatic win, like I said, here at the Moda Center in Portland for the Trailblazers, and they now improve to 26-40 with this win. So they are somehow still in 11th in the Western Conference, just half a game behind the Pelicans in 10th. It would be pretty remarkable if the Trailblazers somehow found their way into the play-in game by the end of the season. Probably pretty disappointing, frankly, for the Pelicans if they did not get that 10th seed. And then the Blazers are one game up on the Spurs in 12th. They are negative 6.2 in the point differential, though. That is third worst in the conference. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. And as for the Wizards, this disappointing loss takes them to 29-37. So they are also trying to make their way into the play-in game. They are in 11th in the Eastern Conference, but they're 3 games behind the Hawks in 10th, so it's probably not going to happen at this point. They are 1.5 games up on the Knicks in 12th. The Wizards are negative 2.9 in the point differential, which is third worst in the conference. They're on a 3-game losing streak, and they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Wiz were led, as I mentioned, by Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Kyle Kuzma. KCP had 26 points in 32 minutes. He was 6 of 16 from the field, but 5 of his makes came from beyond the arc. And he was 9 of 9 from the free throw line. He had 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and 1 steal. And then 22 points for Kyle Kuzma. He was 7 of 17 from the field. He had 4 three-pointers, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. He was negative 20 in the plus-minus, which was by far the team low. Then they got 14 points from Daniel Gafford, the big man, in 15 minutes. He was 5 of 6 from the field. He had 4 rebounds. 15 points for the rookie Corey Kispert. He was 6 of 9 from the field. He had 3 threes and 5 rebounds. And 4 points for Raul Neto, the point guard, rounding out the starting lineup. In 17 minutes, he had 2 rebounds and 5 assists. And off the bench for Washington, they got 12 points from Rui Hachimura. In 17 minutes, he was 4 of 7 from the field, and he had 2 threes, 2 rebounds. 10 points for Ish Smith, the backup point guard. In 25 minutes, he was 5 of 7 from the field, and he had 4 rebounds, 5 assists. And then they also got 9 points from Thomas Bryant, the backup big man. He had 4 rebounds. 6 points for Anthony Gill in 12 minutes. And that was actually it in terms of the scoring off the bench for the Wizards. Tomas Satoransky and Denny Avdija went a combined 0 of 8 from the field. And as for the Trailblazers, they were led by Josh Hart, a career-high 44 points in 36 minutes. He was on fire in this game, 15 of 21 from the field, 6 of 9 from 3, and a perfect 8 of 8 from the free throw line. He had 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals as well, and he was plus 22 in the plus-minus, which was a team high. Incredible stuff for Hart. And then they also got 27 points from Trendon Watford in 38 minutes. He was 11 of 16 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. He was 5 of 5 from the free throw line. Really solid free throw shooting by the Trailblazers as a team. They were 90%. And then they also got 20 points from Drew Eubanks in 39 minutes. He was 9 of 14 from the field. He had 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block. 10 points for Brandon Williams in 40 minutes. He was 4 of 15 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists. And 10 points for CJ Elleby in 37 minutes. He was 4 of 9 from the field, and he had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And off the bench for the Trailblazers, they got 9 points from Greg Brown III, the rookie, in 17 minutes, 6 points for Keon Johnson, the other rookie, in 15 minutes, and 1 point for Ben McLemore. He was ice cold in this game, 0 of 7 from the field. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown. So we can now move on to fantasy, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. And we had a couple of incredible options to pick from. It was an easy choice in the end, but just to run through some of the other options, we had 41 and 11 from De'Aaron Fox. Scotty Barnes had a near triple-double, 25, 8, and 10. Nikola Jokic dropped 26, 10, and 7. 38 points from Klay Thompson, 45 from Jordan Clarkson, the career high. So there was incredible lines throughout the NBA last night, but ultimately, it's got to be Josh Hart. I mean, frankly, he would be surprising and standout line of the night, but we'll probably spread the love around a little bit. But he was just incredible, a career high for him as well, 44 points in 36 minutes. He was on fire, 15 of 21 from the field, 6 of 9 from 3, and 8 of 8 from the free throw line. Incredible efficiency. And he also stuffed the stat sheet with 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals. Just insane production from Hart. He has been fantastic for the Trailblazers. I feel like people go a little bit overboard sometimes with Josh Hart. He's definitely a fan favorite, especially amongst the blogosphere on the internet. But it's games like this when you see his value. I mean, he is just incredible sometimes, especially when he's got the three-pointer falling, because he's obviously a solid defender as well with those 4 steals as evidence of that. So just incredible stuff for Hart, the career high, 44 points. He is absolutely your standout line of the night. And as for surprising line of the night, there was a couple of pretty good options, frankly. You had Hassan Whiteside in the starting lineup for the Jazz, dropping 12 points, 21 rebounds, and 3 blocks. And then you also had Jock Landale for the Spurs, dropping 26. Trey Jones also for the Spurs with a near triple-double, 9 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists. And then Drew Eubanks had 20 points, 12 rebounds. So there was some really surprising lines across the NBA last night. But ultimately, we're going to go with Drew Eubanks' teammate, Trendon Watford, in the starting lineup for the Trailblazers. There was just incredible lines across the board for Portland last night in their win. And Watford really exemplified that. He had 27 points in 38 minutes. He was overshadowed by Josh Hart, but his line was incredible as well. He was 11 of 16 from the field, 5 of 5 from the free throw line, and he had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals, 0 turnovers as well. So Trendon Watford, absolutely your surprising line of the night for the Trailblazers. And his partner in the starting lineup for Portland, Josh Hart is your standout line of the night. All right, and with that, we can move on now to our preview for today, Sunday, March the 13th, and we've got 8 games on in the NBA today, starting off in New York. The Nets are taking on the Knicks in Brooklyn, and the Nets are -5.5. In Detroit, the Pistons are taking on the LA Clippers, and the Clips are -4.5. In Boston, the Celtics take on the Dallas Mavericks, and the Celtics are -6.5. In Orlando, the Magic face the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Sixers are -12.5. In Oklahoma City, the Thunder are taking on the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Grizz are big favorites, -14. In New Orleans, the Pelicans take on the Houston Rockets, and the Pels are -6. In Atlanta, the Hawks are taking on the Indiana Pacers, and the Hawks are -12.5. And finally, in Phoenix, the Suns are taking on the LA Lakers, and the Suns are -8. Alright, so a couple of huge lines in the NBA tonight, projected by Vegas. We have the Hawks, 12.5 point favorites over the Pacers. I like that line just because it's the second night of a back-to-back for the Pacers. We might put that one in our best bets. Also, a huge line in Oklahoma City, the Grizzlies, -14. I don't know if I want to go with that one just because the Grizzlies have been slightly shaky over the past couple of weeks. They are only 6-4 in their last 10 games. And then also the 76ers, big favorites in Orlando. But I'm a little bit scared off of betting against the Magic or Pistons recently, frankly, because they've both been incredible. The Pistons are 6-4 in their last 10, and the Magic are on a 2-game winning streak. They're 5-5 in their last 10. So I don't really want to go against either of those two teams at the bottom of the Eastern Conference right now, even though the 76ers should easily win this game. I think we're ultimately going to go with two best bets for today. We're going to take the Dallas Mavericks +6.5 in Boston. That line just seems a little bit too high for me. The Mavericks, despite having a couple of weird losses here and there, are really solid over the past few weeks and months, really. Honestly, along with the Celtics, they've been two of the hottest teams in the NBA since the new year, frankly. And so I don't think the Celtics should be this big of a favorite, despite the fact that they have home court advantage there in Boston. It just seems like a little bit too high of a line for me, with Luka being as on fire as he is lately. And so I think the Mavericks can, at the very least, keep this game close. So we're going to take them +6.5 in Boston. And for our other best bet, we are, in fact, going to take the Hawks, -12 at home versus the Pacers. That line, I don't know, it's pretty high, but it's the second night of a back-to-back for the Pacers. They were just in San Antonio, so this was a long trip for them. They really have nothing to play for at this point. They are all but eliminated from contention for the play-in game. Whereas the Hawks, on the other hand, are right on the precipice of the play-in game. They're still in 10th, so they should be fighting tooth and nail to get up those standings just a little bit further if they could. And they may, in fact, be able to, because they are just behind the Charlotte Hornets right now. They've played two less games. But they are 32-34, whereas the Hornets are 33-35. So it's really close, and the Hawks would love to be able to jump up into, at the very least, the 9th seed, if not higher. But there is some pretty stiff competition above that point in the standings. But nonetheless, the Hawks should really be fighting in every game that they're in here down the stretch. And their +0.7 point differential is not bad at all. It's actually better than the two teams ahead of them. And they're 6-4 in their last 10. So I think the Hawks can comfortably win this game at home against the Pacers. So I'm going to take the Hawks -12. And then we're also going to take the Dallas Mavericks +6.5 in Boston. Those are our two best bets for today. And with that, we are done. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. And we will be back tomorrow to recap all of those 8 games and to preview the action for Monday, March the 14th. So until then, thanks for tuning in.